Do not be afraid, little flock. Please be seated. I don't know, Ken, if I'm supposed to hit a button on this or something, it's good. All right. Sorry about that, those listening in the radio audience at home. This is actually going to be a little tougher than I thought it was going to be today, being back here in this place. I know a lot of you, and I don't know a lot of you, which is how it should be. It's 14 years ago this week that you sent my family and I off to seminary. It's August the 15th of 1999, and I'm really upset to find that people are sitting in our pew. I don't know how that happened. But I don't even know where Jennifer is. I'm sure she's lost somewhere. 19 years ago that my own son was baptized in that same font that we will use this morning to baptize two little angels and children of God. So it's a little bit emotional, and I get these readings this week that those things that we hear in the Bible all the time, at ridiculous moments when angels appear to people and when Jesus speaks and this word of God that comes to Abram, it's always those same words. And it, do not be afraid, as if, right? Gabriel shows up, we're not supposed to be afraid. Jesus tells the little flock, don't be afraid, just go sell everything you have and give it away. But it's cool, don't be afraid. That was a feeling that I had in my own discernment process, and that's why some of those memories come flooding back to me this morning as well. There was a lot of anxiety and fear in leaving where I'd been and going to where we're going. And this last 2 or 3 weeks, those who keep up with us on Facebook know we've been doing the same thing all over again, trying to discern where God is sending the nights on now. And I keep coming back to these words. Don't be afraid, says Jesus. Don't be afraid, Abram, says God in that first lesson. It sounds simple, but I think it's the hardest thing. But it's part of our journey in life, isn't it? Certainly it's been part of mine, and I'm sure for all of you as well. And in a lot of those cases, you and I have journeyed together. Just a couple weeks ago, I was telling my story, which I happen to have the privilege of doing often with people. Say, why did you become a priest? What was that all about? And I always have to talk about this holy place and the holy people of St. Peter's who raised me up and planted that crazy idea into my head, even though I was afraid to give up a really great career at Trustmark and a wonderful neighborhood that we lived in, and this place, most of all, that has been life-giving and life-changing for me and for my family. So yes, there was fear and worry and anxiety, and I shouldn't have been afraid, because all of it has been wonderful. Every step of this life, even when the storms of life, literally and figuratively, have howled down at us, made us bear down and wrap in each other's arms, it's been really a gift, though, to share this wild and crazy life with so many wonderful people. And it started right here. It was here that I had to learn the hardest lesson for all preachers, and that is, don't forget, practice what you preach. If you're going to try and teach people that we can learn to follow God's will by paying attention to Abraham and his amazing story, shouldn't I learn that same lesson? When fear comes and it stalks and stomps and paralyzes us, and then we pick up the word of God and all its power and light and hope, and we hear Jesus say, don't be afraid, little flock, although what I ask of you is quite daunting. And then we hear from that first lesson, after these things, the word of God came to Abram and said, don't be afraid, for I am your shield, and your reward shall be very great. On this day, when we welcome two more into the body of Christ by the sacrament of baptism, when we, you and I, make promises, and these parents and godparents make promises, and we declare by prayer and the power of the Spirit that that water is holy and that oil is a sign from God, we should all hear in our deepest heart of hearts, do not be afraid, my little ones, for God is present, and you are the beloved. So when we are afraid, we can draw strength from that father of our faith by digging into that story we heard this morning just a bit. I know it's helped me over and over and over again as recently as last week. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. It's what God, Yahweh, says to Abram. Can you imagine hearing those words from God? I am your shield. This passage from Genesis, though, begins by setting up God's words to Abram with this phrase, after these things, the word of God came to Abram in a vision. Well, that just leaves us hanging. The lectionary people are not doing us any favors by starting off with after these things. I want to know what these things are, don't you? After these things, whatever they were, something happened to have God come and say these words to Abram. What were these things? What happened? What did Abram do or say or suffer or pray or eat or fight with or see or hear? What were these events? What things took place that resulted in God saying to a fellow traveler, one of us, good old Abram, fear not. I am your shield and your very great reward, to quote the King James Version. But God does say those words to Abram, and I have to know why. And I believe the answer helps us, you and I, in our sometimes fear-filled journey, this transforming path that we're on, this way that begins with accepting that God does indeed love us as the beloved. And today I want us to look at how we respond to that amazing love that God has for us. What we do when we accept our belovedness. And I think Abram can teach us something about that. The reading today was from the first of the 15th chapter of Genesis, but in the 14th chapter, we see what these things were. What caused God to reach out in this particular way to Abram. Abram has just rescued his cousin Lot from those who had captured him. And Abram, in doing so, joined forces with this king of Sodom. I know Sodom's a name that you will recognize. And with God's help, Abram and his little band of warriors rescue Lot, and they defeat the opposing forces. And after the battle, right there on the field, a very interesting thing takes place. There was Abram and all of his people and Lot and the others they had rescued, and there was the king of Sodom and all of his folks as well, and in the middle of them comes this mysterious person of the Bible named Melchizedek. They called him the king of Salem, which is Jerusalem, but also called him a priest of God Most High. He comes out of nowhere, and on the battlefield, he brings with them bread and wine. Isn't that interesting? 4,000 years ago, he comes onto this place with bread and with wine. And right there on that spot, Abram joins with this priest to worship God. He gives thanks to God. He praises God, blesses God, and they share bread and wine. They have worship right there on the spot. The very next thing that happens, Abram does something that should really wake us up. He then gives to Melchizedek, this priest, 1/10 of everything that he has. All the spoils of war, all of his material stuff. Abram tithes right then and right there without fear, without hesitation on this battlefield, and it is a sign for everyone to see. He worships God and gives back to God. But that's not all. That happens just before today's reading. The king of Sodom then says, hey, Abram, I have a deal for you. Why don't you give me all the people that have been captured today in battle, and I'll let you have all the goods, all the spoils of war, all this property. Give me the people, the king says, and you can have the stuff. Isn't that a familiar temptation? Now, Abram has just worshipped and just prayed and just praised God, having just shared bread and wine with Melchizedek, having just given back to God some of what God had given him, rejects his offer outright. No one, Abram says, will be able to say that I owe anything to a secular king. I owe everything to God, and you cannot have these people. And I will take nothing from you. And he ends by saying, I have sworn this to the Lord, the God Most High, maker of heaven and earth. Do you see it? Abram was beloved of God, and Abram responds to God's love by bowing down and worshiping, by giving God the glory, by thanking and blessing the Holy One. It's a natural thing to do for all of us, to respond to the amazing grace that we've been given with our praise and with our worship, with all of our love in return. To show to God and to all those around, now this is key, that God is his master. Abram turns down an offer of more material wealth and instead gives up some of what he has and gives it freely, cheerfully to God. He worships and he gives, and so he's ready. That's how he got ready, to respond to that temptation, that offer of this worldly king, an offer to have other masters to worship other idols. We have those exact temptations, don't we? But he's done the work. He has worshiped, and he has prayed, and he has tithed, and money is not his master, so it's easy for Abram to reject this offer. After these things, these things I've just reminded you of, these incredible things that Abram has participated in after the word of God came to Abram in a vision. Abram, I am your shield, your reward shall be very great. When we are people who worship and give without fear, when we decide that God is our master and nothing else is, so that we can freely worship and give, I believe God speaks to us as well. And God says those words to us, do not be afraid. For you too are the beloved. And we must always choose worship of God, to give back to God what God has blessed us with, and to accept the love of God that is for all of us. It is for these about to be baptized, and it is for me, and it is for all. This is true for me. Whenever I am anxious and afraid, even paralyzed with a difficult decision, I go back and read this passage, Genesis 14 and 15, and I remember, be a person of worship. Give thanks to God and give back to God some of what God has given to me, and remember that God is Lord. And when I do, I can hear those words, do not be afraid, little flock. After these things, the word of God came. I am your shield and your very great reward. That is a promise for you as well. Amen. Amen. Amen.